May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, O my Lord, my rock, and my redeemer. Amen. Happy Pentecost, people of God. Pentecost is the birthday of the church as the Spirit that Jesus promised was poured out on his disciples. And the Spirit has changed the world. And so today I want to share with you, I'm going to give you a sneak peek into two of my three main points of today's sermon. And so if you haven't gotten your coffee or whatever this morning, listen to these 2 points, and then if you need to get coffee, just come back. But here I'm going to give you a little sneak peek into my sermon today. First of all, what I want you to know today is that God's love, that's right, God's love can change the world. God's love has changed the world. God's love is changing the world. God's love will continue to change the world. And I think that's so important to celebrate that the beginning of this is in the person, the life of Jesus. And now God changes the world through you and me, his church. The second thing, as much as we celebrate the Holy Spirit today, the Holy Spirit points us back to Jesus. And so today, even in Pentecost, who is it still about?
Jesus.
It's always about Jesus because Jesus is our Savior. Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. And so today I want you to hear again, it's still about Jesus. But I got to be honest with you. Part of the reason that why I'm putting this up front is because I feel like this girl, all right? I feel like my eyes are closed and I'm covering my ears because life is overwhelming, but it seems like this week even got worse. On top of the coronavirus and staying at the home, the isolation, the fear that it seems so prevalent in our society, just interacting and talking with somebody is a risk. It's hard. And then to watch a cop kneel on George Floyd's head and then his death, I don't know what it's all about. I can't explain exactly what happened. There's something wrong about that. But then my heart hurts more as I watch cities and businesses burned where senseless acts of what should be peaceful protests turns into destruction. I want to block it all out. But it's there. It's in my head, it's in my heart, and it weighs me down. And then if you're like me, life doesn't stop when it gets a little crazy, right? Life just continues. It piles up. Maybe you're like me and you have a high school student at home and they're trying to finish all their schoolwork in the last 4 days, all right? That's what's happening in my household right now when we're trying to spur Isaac on. You can do it. Or maybe you're experienced just this isolation of being cut off from people, and you're a single person, and this coronavirus is so hard to deal with. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you're uncertain about the future. Maybe you wonder if school is going to start. Maybe you're dealing with grief over the loss of a loved one. Maybe you or a loved one is struggling with cancer. And sometimes you just want to curl up in a ball, cover your ears, and close your eyes, and pretend that none of it's there. But the reality, it's there. This is the world in which we live. And so much is going on that it's hard for me to make sense of it all. And so as I try to make sense of it, I don't have an answer for why. But when I can't make sense of things, when I wonder why, for me as a Christian, a believer in Jesus, I turn to God's word. I turn to his word for truth, for understanding this world in which we live, for truth about how we can be rescued from the sin and death and the destruction that seems to be all around us. I turn to God's word because the Bible is more than just a 2,000-year-old document. I believe it's the very word of God, to this day, active and living, like a double-edged sword that is able to cut to the very bones, points and marrow of our body. God's word is active, and it helps us understand this world in which we live. And so one of the things that just kind of, as I struggle with this world, that the Bible tells us that our natural human condition without God, without Christ, is that we are sinful people, that we exist in total human depravity, without God in our hearts and our lives, without Jesus in us. And because of this fallen world, that if you're not a believer in Jesus, you don't know better.
You pursue your own gods.
You desire to pursue what you want, what you think is best. And so as I look at this world and I see the destruction and the death and the sin and the evil, part of it is like, that's the world in which we live. But that's also why God sent his son, Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus can take our dead heart and breathe new life into it. And the way he does this is by the power of the Holy Spirit, who calls us, who gathers us, who enlightens us with his gifts, who sanctifies us and keeps us in the true faith. The Holy Spirit connects us to Jesus so that we might be forgiven and receive new life. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, to turn our hearts of stone into hearts of flesh. Isn't that great? That's what God does. God starts changing the world by changing one heart at the time, bringing us to repent of our brokenness, of our sin, and believing and trusting that Jesus is our Savior. The Bible tells us that God is not a God who is aloof, who doesn't care, who just stays out there. But in fact, the Bible tells us that God loves this world so much that he has given us his Son. And the Son loves the world so much that he has poured out his Spirit into this world to change us, to fill us, that when life leaves us feeling empty, God fills us with his Spirit. God fills us with himself. God fills us with his presence, and that gives us hope. All right. So what can change the world? God's love. All right. So, you know, there's a couple of you here. That was kind of weak though. All right. So what can change the world, whether you're at home or what can change the world? Shout it at me. God's love. All right. God's love can change the world. And as much as we're celebrating the Holy Spirit today, who is it still all about? It's still all about
Jesus.
That's right. And so it's all about Jesus. God, in his love, sent his son Jesus into this world. God wrapped himself in human flesh. And Jesus didn't come with glory or fanfare, but he was born in a humble stable, placed in a manger. Mary and Joseph, why were they there? Because there was a decree, a census, so that Caesar could get his taxes, right? And so, you know, the injustice of moving and having a child in a foreign place or a different place than home, you know, that's what Jesus was born into. He was born into a land where King Herod was so threatened by the fact that there might be another king of the Jews. What did he have done to all the boys under 2 in Bethlehem? He had them killed. That's the world that Jesus entered into. That's the world that Jesus came to change and make different. And Jesus did make it different. I love the story about the parents whose little girl was sick, very deathly sick. And they went and they found Jesus and they said, Jesus, come, heal our daughter. And when Jesus got to the home, there were people mourning because they said the girl was dead. But Jesus went inside. He said, little girl, I tell you, arise. And that girl rose. You see, Jesus has the power to heal. He healed this little girl. He healed the lepers. He healed the lame and the sick and the blind and the mute. Jesus cast out demons. Jesus welcomed sinners. And throughout Jesus' ministry, he showed a love for all people of all colors of skins. Coming from all places, Jesus welcomed them. Even the Samaritans, right? He loved all people, even those the Jews considered enemies. Jesus came love in the flesh. And even though Jesus had this amazing ministry, one night, Jesus was out praying, and one of his own disciples came and betrayed Jesus. Do you remember how Jesus was betrayed? With a kiss of a friend. This is the man. Arrest him. The injustice, the betrayal, that one of Jesus' own disciples would betray him and hand him over to the chief priests of the same people that he was sent to, who rejected him, who didn't recognize him, who judged him and sentenced him to die. And so Jesus, treated like a criminal, had he done anything wrong? No. And yet he died, hanging on a Roman tool of torture, the cross. You know, when I think about this world in which we live, God understands injustice. God understands brokenness. God understands oppression. God understands when our hearts cry out, Father, why have you forsaken me? Because those are the words of Jesus. But Jesus came to show a love that was greater than the oppression, that was greater than the injustice. And Jesus showed this when he cried out from the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That is maybe my best explanation about why evil happens in this world. They don't understand what they're doing. They don't understand the hurt, destruction, the pain they're causing. But God does. And so we cry out to him who not only died on the cross, but on the third day when the women went to the tomb, the stone was rolled away, the grave was empty, and the angels announced, He is not here, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And that is the good news, that Jesus has defeated our greatest enemy, death. And he has rose again to show that there is hope, that there is life, that death and sin and the devil do not win. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. And so Jesus appeared to his disciples and said, look at me, touch me, taste me. I'm not a ghost. I am alive. And for 40 days, Jesus appeared to his disciples before ascending to heaven. But he said, I must go away. Because I am going to send you the paraclete, all right? The counselor, the encourager, the advisor who is going to be with you, who's going to help you remember everything that I have said, who's going to give you words that when you're beaten, when you're flogged, when you're thrown in prison, don't worry about what you're going to say, all right? The Holy Spirit will give you words. In fact, Jesus says, blessed are you when you're persecuted for my name's sake, for yours is the kingdom of God. And so Jesus poured out his Spirit. His Spirit fills us. Amen? His Spirit is with us. His Spirit gives us life. His Spirit brings us into a closer relationship with Jesus so that we act not loving ourselves, but that we love God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind, and we love our neighbor as ourself. That's what the Holy Spirit enables us to do. And we know, Peter announced, kind of in a mini rebellion, right? On this day of Pentecost, he went out, and all these people hearing all these languages, talking about Jesus, what he has done, that he is God's son, And people said, what do we do? Believe and be baptized. Repent of your sins. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And you too will receive the Spirit. So I think that's the message for the world, isn't it? Repent and believe in Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. It's still all about Jesus. Because the reality, Jesus is coming back, all right? Come, Lord Jesus, soon, right? Come, Lord Jesus, come. But he's coming back. He came as our Savior. This next time, he's coming as our judge, to judge the living and the dead, that all the wrongs that seem to be unpunished in this world, I believe the scripture says, will be made right, that injustices will be punished. Jesus, the judge of the heart, of mind, of all our thoughts and all of our actions, will come and we will stand before him. And when I stand before him, I'll say, all my good works are like filthy rags. I don't deserve heaven. I can't earn it. I say, Jesus, I place my trust in you. You died for me. You defeated death. You were perfect because I can't be. And Jesus will welcome me into his kingdom, not because of what I have done, but because of what Jesus has already done. And so what can change the world? God's love. And who is it all about? It's still about Jesus. So I want to conclude today with my very last point, all right? God's love can change the world. But the amazing thing about Pentecost, when Jesus went into heaven, guess who God chose to change the world with his love? Us. Changing the world starts with who? You and me. The Christian church on earth. It's our job to be the hands and the feet of Jesus, to share not only with our words the message of Jesus, but with our actions. To love. To even be willing to lay down our life for someone. And again, we can't do this on our own, but by the power of the Holy Spirit that changes our hearts, that wakens us up to see it's not about me, it's about Jesus, what he's done for us. So I want to close with these words. As I was yesterday just wrestling with everything that's happening in this world, I was struck by these words from Romans chapter 12. And I'm just going to read these without commentary. And I, you know, the very first word is love must be sincere. And so as I read these words, may this be our guide as Christians, that we may be light in the middle of the darkness, that we may bring hope in the midst of despair, that we may point people to Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit that changes hearts, that changes lives, that can even change the world. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will keep burning coals on his head. And finally, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen.
Amen.
Will you pray with me? Gracious God, Heavenly Father, We thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your Spirit that points us back to Jesus and fills our hearts with the love of Jesus, that we may love the world even when it doesn't make sense. Help us to be like the apostles who are willing to share the love of Jesus even when they face death. Help us, Lord, to be passionate about feeding the hungry, providing shelter for the needy, for caring for all those who need so much. Open our eyes and fill us with compassion that we may not pass by, but that we may find ways to love our neighbor, our family members, somebody that's different than us, somebody that we don't understand. Give us today your Spirit to start that conversation, to share your love that changes the world one person at a time. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen.